Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
The 3-2 pitch from Chatwood. Bounce back to the mound. Backhanded by Baez, and they've got the runner Yelich in a rundown. The throw goes to Bryant. And now the throw to Russell. They are running Yelich toward third. Meanwhile, the batter, Kane, goes to second. Yelich running back to second. And now everybody is safe. Kane ran back to first. Yelich ran to second. And no outs were recorded on the play.
Poor baby.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. That is the broadcast of the failed rundown from the Cubs. What would you call it? The home of the Cubs, WSCR Chicago. Great people there. Kind of them to share with us. And we have versions of that.
Well, normally you want to go to the ballpark and see something you've never seen before. And that is certainly...
That's the beauty of baseball. You often see things
and
that you're not used to seeing.
I think pretty much everyone in the ballpark, including the players and coaches, said they've never really seen that. Although Lorenzo Cain said he actually practiced that play with Kansas City, never was able to use it. The situation never presented itself. But you talk about doing the little things. The Kansas City Royals apparently did have a drill where they went through possible scenarios, and he knew what to do there. And the Cubs obviously did not. You know, it looked like Baez held on to the ball or threw the ball too quickly to Bryant, and he threw low and away, and Bryant was now off balance, and then he starts, momentum takes him to second. So he goes to second as Addison Russell is thrown back to Chatwood, and Addison Russell goes to third because Chatwood's taking the ball. I mean,
yeah, a couple of guys held the ball too long. So, okay, so that is the professional radio broadcast version from WSCR Chicago, home of the Cubs. And let's listen to some other versions. We've got the TV version of here in Chicago. We've got the WTMJ version, which is the Brewers broadcasting
the radio
outlet.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have Fox Sports Wisconsin. So let's hear that from different perspectives and different professional broadcasters.
Chatwood can't get it. Backhanded Baez and Yelich. I'm not sure. Well, I know what he was thinking. He thought Chatwood might make that play. And this is taking too long, and the result. Wow! What a smart play by Kane. Are you kidding me? Lorenzo Kane just did something I've never seen before. He basically deked Chatwood because nobody was at first base. So he told Yelich, you get to the bag, I'm heading back to first, yeah. And they're both safe.
Yep.
Okay, so let's listen to WTMJ.
Ground ball towards the middle. It'll be fielded by Baez. A pump fake, and now they've got Yelich caught in a rundown. Yelich trying to stay in the rundown long enough as Kane's going to try and get to second base. Chatwood will finally run Yelich back to second. He's safe there. Nobody's covering first, and Kane is safe there. The Cubs get no one. Everybody went to go cover the second base bag. Christian Yelich just kept on running towards second, and nobody was at first base. So Kane just leisurely made his way back to the bag.
And now we have Fox Sports Wisconsin.
Kane back up the middle, backhanded Baez, and now Yelich is going to be caught in a rundown. Kane on his way to second. Yelich trying to stay in it as long as he can. And now Yelich is safe.
Smart.
And now Kane going to be safe at first. Wow. What a heads-up play by Lorenzo Kane.
Unbelievable. I mean, you talk about thinking that one through. He never touched second base. He allowed Yelich to get back to second. Nobody was at first, and he just scooted back to first base. I mean, that's brilliant. I mean, how many guys are going to think that way? I mean, that is just smart baseball by Lorenzo Kane. My goodness. I have never seen that.
That gave me goosebumps.
Man, me too.
So if you're scoring at home, at second base, by the end of the play, you had Bryant, Elmore, and Hayward.
Yes.
And I love that Elmore's reaction was just like, he just drops his head and like, what the hell did we do? I mean, because you know how much he loves defense. And he's like, that was a, you know, an abomination. At third base, you had Baez, Addison Russell, Contreras. And at home plate, you had Rizzo standing there going, and nobody at first.
Yeah.
And there's all accounts. Kane,
so who's at fault? Rizzo's not supposed to go.
He saw Contreras going to third.
Yes, so he's got to be there to cover because.
I think Baez was, you know, he makes the play, which is a pretty good play to make anyway. But he's at this weird angle, so he should have run Yelich more towards third before he threw the ball. He threw the ball pretty quickly.
Right.
And he threw kind of low and away, so Bryant's going down to his ankles to get the ball, and then he comes up throwing to Addison Russell, who throws back to Chatwood. Chatwood never took the ball.
It seemed like Chatwood was at fault.
He never took the ball out of his glove to even have the option to throw.
Yeah.
Because Bryant's now at second, waving like, give me the ball, and the ball's squarely in his glove, and he doesn't have his hand anywhere near to get the ball out of the glove to throw it. So now he's just chasing them back. And Kane is pointing to second base. You've got second. I'm going back to first. You're going to own that. I'll be over here, and we'll be good to go. And, you know, it was just.
It's. I find it fascinating that they practiced that in Kansas City.
Yeah, Kane said.
That's where he goes back to Kansas City.
He was traded to Kansas City when they got Zach Greinke. And so he went over there, and he said, yeah, we practiced that. Never used it, but used it there. And, I mean, the Cubs had a role in it, but.
Yeah, I just go back to like Little League. You get the ball and run at the guy, right?
Yes,
I mean, run at the guy, and then you're forcing him to make
a
decision.
But Baez has the ball deep short, like almost on the grass, right?
Right. So he's got to
he's
too far away from
he's
the
got
runner.
A bad angle, so he's not exactly behind him. Like Joe said, you got to see the numbers. And but anyway, he just throws it immediately, and he kind of throws it, since he's at a weird angle, he throws it to Bryant, who's on the infield grass. And it's low and away, and so Bryant's like off balance when he gets it, and you know it wasn't crisp by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it just didn't move very quickly.
But I mean, if you're Chatwood, you have to have the ball in your hand so you have the option.
They had the guy.
You
had
have
Yelich.
The option to throw. I mean,
but you got to get Yelich. That's the guy that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But he's chasing Yelich, and it's great that he's running back to the bag. But you have to have the ball in your hand so you can at least throw to the bag.
Who are you blaming for it? You're saying it was Baez?
By the end of it, Chatwood should have had the ball.
Chatwood is the guy at the end.
I mean, you're not going to outrun him to the bag. So you run him back to the bag and then make the throw at the end, and you have five guys standing
there.
Exactly. I mean,
pick one of them.
Yeah, but I mean, Bryant's the one calling for the ball, and he's like, oh, boy. And then Elmore's just
And then there's a double on the next, and both guys score. And again, you know, you would have gotten one out there. The double would have happened with one out.
And the way you weren't doing anything against Chase Anderson, it just made for an interesting story.
Exactly. It was just and it comes on the heels of the brilliant base running play by Zobrist, who, by the way, also was
and people are saying, you know,
base running play.
We have texters saying, why is Hayward at second? I mean, he when he sees Rizzo going to the plate, he probably should go to first, right?
You don't need
two outfielders to join.
You don't need the right fielder at second base.
Right.
It's true.
But again, Chatwood wasn't going to throw the ball at anyone, so it didn't matter if there were five people there or no people there. He wasn't throwing the ball. He was just running Yelich back.
312-644-6767. Who's on first? Mully and Handley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
The 3-2 pitch from Chatwood. Bounce back to the mound. Backhanded by Baez, and they've got the runner Yelich in a rundown. The throw goes to Bryant. And now the throw to Russell. They are running Yelich toward third. Meanwhile, the batter, Kane, goes to second. Yelich running back to second. And now everybody is safe. Kane ran back to first. Yelich ran to second. And no outs were recorded on the play.
J.R. Smith, fifth by second.
There you go. There's want the Spanish call?
Yeah. Mully and Handley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. We'll get to your calls in a second. We have breaking news from the international world of international sports. The 2026 World Cup. Thank you.
Sounder.
2026 World Cup has been awarded to North America. A combined bid by the United States, Mexico, and Canada will take place. They beat Morocco. Morocco jumped in. There will be 10 games in Canada, 10 games in Mexico, 60 games in the United States, including the final at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. I don't know. We didn't talk about it. I think last week it was announced that Chicago would not be hosting any games. They would not take part in it. And Vancouver, also a city that pulled out, both cities concerned with financial issues and costs and a lack of clarity from FIFA on how much money it would cost and where the games would be and all that. So
I didn't think we were talking to Canada
Chicago.
These days.
Well,
are we on a break?
I mean, there's a special place in hell for people who don't like the international game of soccer.
I didn't, yeah.
You never know.
Yes, and I also think we have some issues down at the border.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I didn't tell
but this
how
is. I mean, we're moving forward here.
Yeah, all right.
It's a long way out.
Maybe we'll all be friends again?
I believe the year now is 2018.
Yeah, so we got 8 years to make nice.
Where are we? Is this the 13th of June? Yeah.
So we have 8 years to make nice and be nice hosts.
2018, and we're talking about 2026, so it's a ways off.
Okay.
We got 8 years to straighten out whatever issues are there, and hopefully that's enough time for all hard feelings to be.
We have a master negotiator and a deal maker on it, so okay. I'm confident.
Was Soldier Field just not big enough, the venue, or was
it
just finances?
I don't know. As I recall, there was just, I believe the mayor, there was a press release, the mayor said that FIFA would not provide a basic level of certainty on some of the major unknowns that put our city and taxpayers at risk. The uncertainty for taxpayers, coupled with FIFA's inflexibility and unwillingness to negotiate, were clear indications that further pursuit of the bid wasn't in Chicago's best interest.
Because the U.S. bid was billion, like tens of billions more, double what the – was it Morocco? Was that – did we
– Morocco Morocco came in fairly late. I don't remember what their – as of last week, it looked like the they're calling it United 2026 – so it's not just United States; it's a United North American bid that includes Canada and includes Mexico. Mexico has hosted the World Cup in 1970, where Brazil is considered the greatest team ever assembled. 1970 Brazil, they won the World Cup in 1970, and then 1986 Mexico hosted it as well, and of course the U.S. in 1994. Canada has never hosted a World Cup game, so there's a first for. That fine country.
We have a texter saying 25% tariff on all tickets purchased outside of our country.
Okay.
I think it'd be made of steel.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Think of it from a real estate perspective.
All right. We will.
312-644-6767. And then we have the usual stick to sports text.
Okay. That was sports.
That's
right.
That's apparently not seen by all. Let's start with John. John's on the road. Good morning, John.
Hi. This is John Zimmerman from Valparaiso, Indiana. Love your show.
What's your social security number, John?
Ends in last four. No, I'm just
kidding. We want the full, not just last four.
But if you're going to give your name, we may as well get your
welcome,
address.
Welcome, John.
Your social
security. Welcome. Yeah.
Sorry. Well, regardless, just wanted to call in because one, I wanted to just mention that James Shields. I just can't see much of a return in terms of a prospect. I mean, you're gonna be talking sub 100, top 100 guys easily. Just get him off the books. You're going to have to also probably, pay a portion of his salary. So I'm hoping to try to package somebody like Avi with him, just to maybe seek better prospects in return. Second, Moley, everybody was giving you a hard time yesterday about Mancata. Just wanted to see if you slept any better last night after he hit that home run in the first inning. That's it, you guys.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John. Yes, it was a good day for Mancata. And
if he hit it from the right side, now you really got something going.
As mentioned, we need him to do well.
Yes,
and it makes you feel better about life when he's doing well. The rebuild seems more on track when he's doing well. When everybody is sort of, hitting the panic button. It's hard for some of us to maintain our composure, but we managed to, what would the term be? Never let them see you sweat. So no one knows that there was a slight panic. Tim! Tim's from Tommy Moore. Look at that. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Hey, Mike. I am good. I think the key on the rundown play is that Kane doesn't touch second base. Now, I'm not positive on the rule, but
yes,
right.
That right there is exactly correct.
He was pointing to Yelich like, that's your base because
yes,
you're going to possess
no one
it
over
right
here. If he touches that base,
then he possesses it, right? And now you can tag and.
That's right, Tim.
Okay.
Yep.
That's why he
takes that Tommy Moore guy to figure that rule out.
He stopped short and he was pointing to Yelich. This is yours. I'm going back here. Yeah. We'll be good.
It's incredible, really, that you know, he learned that in Kansas City, and we had a texter pointing out Ned Yost coming to the aid of the Milwaukee Brewers. Who would have thunk it?
But was Ned managing the Brewers at that point?
I don't know. But Ned had once managed the Brewers and then was in Kansas City.
Right, no, but I'm saying when they made the trade when Zach Greinke was traded to the Brewers, Ned was still managing the Brewers, wasn't he? So he wouldn't have been in Kansas City at the time. I'd have to go back and look at that.
Oh,
No, I'm saying
2010 was Ned's first year.
When did the Zach Greinke trade get done? So it was post 2010. It was
2011.
Like, yeah, okay.
It was before the 2011 season.
All right.
So, you know, somewhere about.
Yeah. We're just making connections.
And by the way, Brian, Eloy Jimenez, I know you like to get updates on him as well.
No, I don't, because it makes me sweat like Mully's Ben attendee.
Who homered last night?
He was not over. He was 2-for-5 with a double. Though,
see, I don't need it.
Yeah,
don't.
That's all right.
And soon enough, it's going to be in front of me every day. Well, maybe not. Rickon said, don't. You got to go to Charlotte first to see.
Well, don't you agree with that? They talk to Bennett. They say no skipping steps. We're going to take our time.
Well, there's no sense in skipping steps when you're in this kind of a situation. Yeah. I get that, but. But don't you think, Joe, that there have been guys that have gone from double A right into?
I believe if there are no challenges to be met at any of the minor leagues, at some point get them up here with major league pitching, and all those pitches are good experience too.
The general consensus is that double A is where you find your future stars, and that it's not necessarily a need to run through triple A. But
you see a lot of 4A players down there sometimes.
Right, exactly. Borderline.
Scoreboard update.
I know a lot about airplanes.
I thought Dustin was going to break into Borderline and start doing a karaoke version.
That's too. I don't think the girls are listening to that stuff. That's too old fashioned. They don't even know Madonna, right?
That is not Skylar Grey.
Yeah. There you go. Exactly. Look at Joe. Joe knows.
Yeah. Going through that.
Are you going to the B96 bash on, is it Saturday? Is it a week from Saturday?
I am not.
Yeah, I believe.
Are you going?
I'm kind of hoping my wife takes the girls, but.
you got the tickets.
Well, I do have the tickets, and it is, I think, Halsey among the many that will be there.
Is Otsi going to be there, too?
I would hate to admit this, and I probably won't, but she. When, you know, that Bad at Love song, the family has been known to scream as I belt that thing out. Like, no one does the Bad at Love lyric like Mully.
While you're smoking meat?
Like a smoking Mully. What?
Hi, Madonna. Over this way.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce Levine joins us on the CDW hotline. CDW making IT solutions work for you. Orchestration by CDW. CDW, people who get it. He is the Score's baseball expert. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. And when is a loss a good thing on a day where you lose 4-0 to your arch rival? It's probably yesterday where you hear good news about Yu Darvish going ahead. Chatwood, even though he loses the game, finds his swerve as far as throwing more strikes. So it can be a positive, even though in a whitewash where you only get two hits, the Chicago Cubs see a couple of guys improving and getting ready to help them more in the second half.
So that, well, let's start. I mean, first of all, Chase Anderson has the Cubs number, and that just seems to be the case, and it was certainly the case last night. Chatwood, the walks I get, he only had a couple walks. It was a 3-1 count on Shaw's double, right? I mean, he wasn't exactly ahead of the hitter a couple times there. So
that's right.
So I don't know. I'm just not willing to just be that, give that, praise to Chatwood every time there's incremental
Right.
Improvement, I don't even know if it was that.
Look, you have to be honest about it. He gave up four runs in the first four innings. They were basically out of the game with the way
right.
that Anderson pitched and the way their offense. Look at their offense right now, guys. You take away that big inning that they had in extra innings the other day, okay? You take away that, and they've scored eight runs in five games, okay? That's not going to get it done, okay? You're just not going to get it done. That's why Joe plays defensive offensive baseball and takes a guy, his starting pitcher, out in a 1-0 game in the fifth inning. It's not that he is trying to reinvent the wheel or be someone that's entertaining or fun. He knows his offense just can't get it done right now. I mean, you have a team that hit well over 200 home runs last year. They almost set a record for the franchise, second highest in their history. And they're on pace for 160 home runs right now. Nobody is powering the ball out of the place except for Rizzo, occasionally Schwarber, and that's pretty much about it. You have Bryant on pace for somewhere around 18 or 20 home runs. You have Contreras, who had 21 home runs and missed an entire month last year, on pace for about 12 home runs. So, again, they always say, even though they're trying to mass produce runs and do it in a way other than the home run, we're a home run hitting team. They have not been that, and that's why they've been playing a lot of close games. And they've been nail biters because of the fact that the starting pitching, the bullpen's been really good. The run production has not.
There's been a little bit of a power outage. We understand that with a couple of big run producers, and maybe that comes into play here. What do you attribute that to?
I attribute it to the fact that they have very similar batters, and they're pitched to in a very similar way. Do they have on-base percentage guys? Yeah. Rizzo's an on-base percentage guy. Bryant's an on-base percentage guy. They're up at the top of the order. Ben Zobrist is an on-base percentage guy. Do they have guys that can run outside of Bryant and occasionally Hap when he's in there? No. So Joe doesn't do hitting and running. As a matter of fact, hardly any managers in baseball do now because of the metrics and the way the home run has impacted games. And from that perspective, when you're not hitting home runs, you're going to have a hard time scoring runs. You're going to have a tough time getting a man on first, getting him over to third, and scoring him. It's been very difficult for the Chicago Cubs. They're not the Lone Ranger when it comes to this, but certainly from the perspective of manufacturing runs, this is not a team that does that very well.
Okay, in the case of Chris Bryant, who's, one extra base hit and two RBI in the last 10 games. He's on an 0-for-16 with six strikeouts.
One home run in a month now.
Yeah, so on a scale from 0 to, oh, my God, he's turning into Mick Kelleher, where's your concern?
I don't have a lot of concern for Bryant. This is an extended long period of time where we haven't seen home runs. The OPS has dropped 150 points.
That's a career high. A career high 24 games without a home run. We haven't seen it before.
We haven't. You believe in the player and you believe in him getting out of it. The funk that he's in, where he's popping things up, and he's hitting things on the handle. We haven't seen a lot of it. He's had slumps before. I mean, it's not a guy that hits 400 every year, but he's such a good player, and he expects so much out of himself that you can see him putting an awful lot of pressure on himself. He's not relaxed up there, not taking the Bryant swing. He still takes his walks, but you can't say that his at-bats are good, because even when he's working the count in his favor, he's not doing much with that pitch right now. So I guess you can say even the best players in the game, and Bryant is right up there, the top 10 players in Major League Baseball, top 7 if you want to break it down. The fact is that he has to go up there, relax, and get that bat head out. He's not doing that right now.
It's on the south side. One of the storylines is that somehow Yoan Moncada is getting squeezed by umpires, and that's why he's striking out. He did strike out a couple times, and he said it's on him to adjust. But what do you make of that idea that has been floated by both the manager and general manager?
Not a good idea. Not even if it's true, not a good idea to publish that. It just doesn't work to your advantage. And that means that you're impugning the the integrity of Major League umpires by saying that they're picking on one guy. Okay, you can't have it. You can't. First of all, it doesn't work for the player. It doesn't work for the team. It doesn't work for the manager or the franchise. If you say that, it's just not functional. And why would an umpire pick on Yoan Moncada? You know, he's not a troublemaker. Hasn't been in umpires' faces. The reality is he's not adjusting and he's not hitting at all from one side of the plate. You know, the right hand is hitting 194. There's no power numbers there. You know, maybe we should be talking about he goes to the cage and he starts working these next 3.5-4 months on just hitting from one side of the plate.
Well, yeah,
maybe that's the function.
Bruce, we talked about that yesterday. Do you pull the plug on the idea of a switch hitting and just say, you know, all his home runs are from, all the power's from the from the left side, all 9 home runs, and he's much better. The splits are drastically different between the two sides of the plate. But I think most of us agreed yesterday when we talked about it, and good to hear Todd Steverson weigh in saying it's too early in the season and his career to give up on that. And since everyone, you're in rebuild mode and it's all about development, let him develop this season. And then maybe in the offseason revisit it and say, okay, either it looked better or didn't, and go from there.
If you're the White Sox and you're Steverson and you're the general manager and the vice president of baseball operations, the owner, you can do it because you're still in rebuild mode. You're not expected to win a lot of games. You're not expected to compete and jump over other teams. Yeah, you can do it. I just don't. If it's a determination that you made that he can't hit from the right side in the major leagues, I'd say the sooner you get to the experiment, the better. If you believe that's something you want to visit in the off season, this is experimental mode for the White Sox. You might as well do it right now. Look at it as instructional league at the major league level. You know, let him do it here. Let him take extra BP. You know, mess around with it. He's not going to look any worse from the left side against these pitchers than he's looking from the right side against left-handers at this point.
Davidson had a couple of doubles yesterday. We've been waiting for the power to come back to him. He, you know, batted two of them off the wall, so that's a good sign.
It is, but, the strikeouts are just piling up higher and higher for Davidson, and he's always going to strike out. Look, if he gets 600 at-bats, he's going to strike out 200 times. Okay, that's just the way it is. Can you live with that and 30 to 35 homers and 80 to 90 runs batted in? That's pretty much the mode he was in. He was hurt for a while. The back was giving him some problems, so he's starting to swing the bat better, kind of like he did when, the first month of the season where he was putting up some record pace setting numbers, you know, especially against, you know, those crazy numbers against Kansas City where he hit, 7 home runs against them in the first month. So, he's somebody that fills a need right now. Is he somebody down the road that you can trade and get something really good back? I don't know about that. I know James Shields is somebody that you're going to be able to trade and get something good back, because other than that hiccup in his last start, you have 9 starts in a row where he's had 9 out of 10 where he's had quality starts. And for a change, they got him a few runs to work with. And he has just been a terrific pitcher to watch. He's not a sexy pitcher anymore because he doesn't have the power pitchers he had. But, you know, watching him go through a pretty good Cleveland lineup yesterday was impressive.
So why wouldn't you get that done sooner than later, like today? Because no matter if he continues quality start after quality start, his stock's not appreciably rising, right? You're not necessarily going to get much more in return if you do it on June 13th today or 3 weeks from now.
Brian, they would drive him to the airport and thank him. And, you know, I mean, they're not in the mode of, hey, you stink, we want you out of here. They're saying, you're really good, we want you to stay good, because as you say, Brian, now's the time to strike. Unfortunately, it takes 2 to tango.
Yeah, but what you're going to have to do is write a check, whether it's now or in July. So
they don't care about the money. I mean, that's already spent. You know, they would like to get a really good prospect back for James Shields.
Good luck.
And there's not the pressure to move him right now. They still have to fill important innings, the rest of the season. Not important from the standpoint of winning games, but just not bringing up somebody too early from the minor league. So from their perspective, you know, again, would they trade him tomorrow if they heard the right prospect? Yes, indeed. They would do it today, tomorrow, the next day. That's not anything but saying good things about James Shields, who should be able to help a contender going down the line.
All righty, Bruce. Thanks, buddy.
Guys, have a great day.
Take care, Bruce.
That's Bruce Levine, Scores baseball experts. Pity he's not a general manager.
Yeah, I wouldn't have
James Shields.
I wouldn't have to hear a good deal. I just have to hear my.
I would do.
I would hear my ringtone. I would say, yes. "Oh, you're interested. You know, oh, yeah. James. All right, he's gone."
That would be.
You never know.
Yes, you do.
You kind of know. Mully and Hanley, we got a big hour planned for you. We're going to talk to our buddy David Haw next. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.